Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
I'm going to start in Genesis 15, the book of Genesis in chapter 15. Genesis 15 happens after Genesis 14. Genesis 14 is where Abram, he was still Abram at that time, won a great victory over some bad guys who had raided a couple of cities and kidnapped Abram's nephew Lot. And Abram went out and did war and got his son back and all their possessions back. And that's where it's a little bit mysterious, but where you see this character named Melchizedek show up. This is still in chapter 14. And he's called the King of Salem. And Salem means peace. And we know Jesus is a Prince of Peace. Most theologians will say that Melchizedek was a theophany or Christophany, was actually a pre-appearance of Jesus, a pre-incarnation of Jesus prior to his life as we know it in the Gospels. And it says Abraham gave a tenth of everything, all of his winnings from the battles, to Melchizedek. And that's where the concept, way hundreds of years before Moses' law, that's where the concept of tithing comes in, the tenth part, giving it to Melchizedek. Because in Hebrews, the Bible says that Jesus is a priest according to the priesthood of Melchizedek. So in sharing a portion of our earnings with the church, it is in fact giving it to Melchizedek. It is in fact giving it to the way that it was originally. So there's a theological term called the law of first mention. And when you see something first mentioned in the Bible, it tends to have a gravity or a weight on that subject for the rest of the Bible. So most people come into the body of Christ, don't even, that's an easy thing to kind of come to terms with, but it shows something special that this Abraham did it spontaneously, before the law, before religion, before anything. He was called out of his father's land. His father was a polytheist. He came from the Ur of the Chaldeans, and Abraham was called by God. And that's pretty kind of neat because faith was born in him almost spontaneously. He was the first person, really from Adam, that God found that actually had this faith, this element, this thing called faith. So when God called him out, the way God called you out of your previous life, the way God calls those of us who are believers out of our previous life into a life of Christ is the same way God called Abraham out. There's something in you that connects with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something in you that's different than other people. Other people, I mean, we preach it and preach it and preach it, and some people connect and some people frankly don't connect. And our job is to continue to share the message because it's a message that has to be received by faith. You know, and we're going to talk some about faith today. So In Genesis 15, it says, after these things, after this war, and Melchizedek shows up, and Abraham ties to him, and all of that, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram, for do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. It's really, I think that's probably one of the most weighty scriptures in the whole Bible. You know, we would like, you know, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow to be our reward, or some other kind of thing, you know, earthly thing to be our reward. But he basically saying, I am your reward. I'm your shield. I am your protector. I am your shield. And I am your exceedingly great reward. And so as believers, and as we're going to see as children of Abraham, we really do follow the pattern of Abraham. The thing that we are to seek mostly is what God has promised to Abraham, that God himself wants to have a relationship with you. God himself, God personally loves you. God personally wants to be your shield and your exceedingly great reward. You know, God is not just some idea. God is a living entity who wants to have a very close and intimate relationship with you, and wants that relationship to be a two-way relationship, not simply us talking to him, but us hearing from him as well. There's a desire in God to be friends with man. There's the desire in God. It was originally created that way in the garden. Adam blew it. I love this about Abraham, because after these things, word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abraham said, Lord, what will you give me, seeing that I go childless? Listen, that's funny. You're going to be my shield, my exceedingly great reward. Then what are you going to give me? It's all about me. You know, we're afraid to ask God great things. What was Abraham's greatest sort of, what's the empty hole in your heart? What's the emptiness in your heart? What's the unfulfilled portion of your life? You know, for Abraham, it was the fact that he had no children of his own. That was very, very important. Even today, if you know someone who's married and a couple who have a hard time having children and things like that, it can be tremendously painful. It can be really, really painful. Abraham said, Lord, what will you give me, seeing that I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Indeed, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born of my house is my heir. And behold, word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one will come from your own body shall be your heir. He brought him outside, and he said, now look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. So God is giving him this great big promise. You know, you're going to have a million, trillion, billion descendants. More than you could ever count in a million lifetimes will be your descendants, will call themselves your descendants. And this is the key scripture, verse 6. And he believed the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Okay, so God makes this amazing promise. Promise beyond his wildest dreams, you know, beyond his wildest dreams. I have no heir. You and I are his children. You and I are children of Abraham. You and I are children of Abraham. He's still having children all these years later. You know, physically through the Hebrew people, through the Jewish people, and spiritually, we're really his children. Because we're the ones, like him, who believe God and it's counted to us for righteousness. It says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. It's not by a work he did. It's not by some kind of, he didn't climb a mountain and swim a river and, you know, cross a desert and go to a swami high on a hill and, you know, make some gift of gold or something like that. He simply believed God's word. He believed God's word, and that was counted to him as righteousness. That's amazing, because that's really our entrance into the kingdom of God. If you will pick up your Bible and you'll begin to read what promises God has for his children, and you'll believe that those words are for you, because they're for every member of the human race who believes God's word, you know, you have access to far more a valuable life than you could ever imagine. You know, it comes in every kind of form and fashion. You know, for a long time, the faith preachers were sort of accused of promising everybody a Maserati or something, and, you know, cars and mansions and things like that. And I think that stuff is a pittance for God, to be honest with you. I really think the more important things are valuable life, having a valuable life, and having being of valuable service to other people. I really think those are the true riches of life. You know, we have a little poster in one of our rooms in our house, and it says 100 years from now, it's not going to matter what kind of house you had or how much money you had in the bank or what kind of car you drove, but your life, but the world may be different because you were important in the life of a child. You know, and I've always enjoy reading that over and over and over again, because really your influence with one human being, your influence by caring for one human being can have astounding effect. It's far more fulfilling than a lot of the things that we think are fulfilling. I mean, you got to manage your life right and everything, and God will prosper you. Prosperity is sort of comes with the kingdom. But most people get this generosity thing on them, and they come into the kingdom, and then as they prosper, they can't help but wanting to find ways to give it away. Not to just give it away, but to build things that will serve God's kingdom. You know, to build organizations and to fund great works that are you almost can't keep up with God. I mean, look, we live in such a needy world. I mean, maybe we here in America are among the least needy, but even in our own hometown, there are many needy. I mean, we have many people who are members of our food program next door. You know, there's lots of need. You don't have to go very far to find something to invest yourself in. You don't have to go very far to find something to invest yourself in that's worthwhile, that matters, that will make a difference in someone's life. So faith is not just believing that the God exists, but that he is going to fulfill his promise to you. You know, faith is not even faith until you think that God's faith is going to work in and through you. That he's not only able to fulfill his promise to you, he's going to fulfill his promise to you. You know, that's really what faith is. Faith is saying, wow, I belong to a great church. I belong to, you know, this, that, the other thing. But faith is when I own it for myself. And no matter how young I am, Jeremiah was the one who said, Lord, I'm just a child. You know, Jeremiah said, I'm just a child. How can I do anything for you? And the Lord said, go. Don't say I'm just a child, go. And tell them what I told you. You know, Abraham was an old man. He was 100 years old. His wife was 90. He said, you're going to have kids. You're going to have children. A child anyway, right? And you're going to be the father of many nations. Moses, God said, Moses, go. Moses said, Lord, I can't speak well. I'm not articulate of tongue. Lord said, go. Right? Gideon said, I'm a low-class guy. I'm from the wrong side of the tracks. I'm poor. My father's household is the least in the land. How can I save anybody? And God called him a mighty man of God. And he disagreed with God. Said, no, you don't understand. I'm the least of my father's house. I don't have, you know, I'm poor. We're poor. And we're in the least family in our tribe. You understand? There's nothing that you can say to me that is a good enough excuse for you to get out of the responsibility of walking in faith and believing God for very great things. And you know what? Every one of you are an egg with your own ideas, with your own destiny, with your own favor of God on your life, with your own direction. And some of it we'll do together and some of it you'll do alone. So faith is not just believing the Lord exists, but believing his promises are for you. For you, for you, for you, for you, for you, for you. Not for you to be a spectator and watch the promises of God happen to somebody else. Okay, listen to me and know this, that God wants you to know, if you will believe him, that you're favored, you're loved, you're special. He wants an intimate relationship. He wants to be close with you. He wants to be considered family with you. He wants to be your friend. God wants all those things for you. And you have to align your mind to believe that and then begin seeking him in the invisible realm, which starts in your heart, but seeking him in the invisible realm when you find him. Asking will be given to you, seeking you'll find, knock, and the door will be open. And when God comes and connects himself with you, you will know it, because it is genuinely an experience. It is genuinely something that you can't necessarily describe completely, but you will know it in your knower. That's how they used to say it, the preachers used to say it. You'll know it in your knower. Romans 4 says, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now listen, he's just quoting Genesis 15. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. So that's what Paul is saying. Abraham has nothing to boast about because it was God who initiated the relationship. And Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. What, his works? No, not his works, his faith. That God said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. I'm going to be your exceedingly great reward. I personally am going to be your reward. I will personally be your reward. I will personally be your reward. It's like the most rich and famous person on the earth stopping by your house one day. Some, you know, Hollywood celebrity type or political type or somebody like that, you know, that everybody in the world knows, whose household name, knocks on your door and says, I'm going to be your friend. You know, I'm going to be your, whatever I have is yours. You know, what you have is mine, and we're going to be friends together. You know, you win on a deal like that, right? If some very rich person, you know, comes to your house. Warren Buffett came to your house and said, I'm not going to give my kids anything for their, didn't he say that? He's not going to give his children anything for an inheritance. I'm going to give it to you. It's like Warren Buffett stopping by your house. Excuse me, who are you, sir? Kind of grumpy old man. I'm going to give you my billions and billions of dollars. You know, I mean, that's really what God is saying, because Warren Buffett is nothing in comparison to the God we serve. The God we serve created the heavens and the earth. He created the buttercup. He created the daffodil. He created the crocodile and the lion. He created the rhinoceros. I mean, the rhinoceros came out of God's heart. He thinks, I think a rhinoceros would be a cool thing to make. Right? And a hippopotamus. I saw a hippopotamus fight when I was in Africa. Man, right? That was a cool fight, right? It was two guys that were fighting over a girl. Yeah. And they fight nasty like. Look Listen, God created everything. God can do anything for you. God can bring you anywhere if you will. Now, submit is a word that I'm going to use, and it's going to, you know, it's got all those religious baggage on it. I don't mean that. He's not looking for you to become a religious, brainless religious person. He's looking for you to submit to him. Because the only thing he's going to tell you are things that are good for you. You know, most of the wisdom that he gives us is wisdom that's good for you. You know, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, sometimes the greatest scoundrel in the world is the guy who lives next door to you. And that, you know, when you ask, the Pharisees ask Jesus, who's my neighbor? You know, define neighbor. You know, it sounds like a lawyer, right, would say that. Oh, yeah, define neighbor. Who's my neighbor? Well, start with the person next door. You know, because sometimes they can be the hardest people to get along with in the world. You know, and the people that you do business with and the people that you interact with day by day. Sometimes your own family can be difficult, yeah? So Romans 4, what shall we say? Abraham, our father, found according to the flesh. He had nothing to boast about. Nice thing about Christians is you have nothing to boast about. You know, somebody gets saved, I get 14 people saying, I got them saved, I got them saved, I got them saved, I got them saved. Stop boasting. Nobody got anybody saved. We preach the gospel. God gets people saved. Yeah? He says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but debt. So if I'm working my way to heaven, then I'm just getting wages and I'm getting what I earned. The Bible says you can't earn God's righteousness. You believe God. That's how you get God's righteousness. It's a harder thing. It's a harder thing to continue in faith, to say I believe. You know, because there are so many questions, especially in our day, in our scientific day and generation, where there's so much cynicism and unbelief, you know, that you're getting a barrage of it every time you turn on the TV or every time you turn around, you're getting a barrage of unbelief. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. God justifies who? The godly? No, the ungodly. It's God who justifies the ungodly. Those of us who believe that God justifies the ungodly, that's the one whose faith is accounted to him as righteousness. See, I'm not such a good person. I wasn't so bad, so I guess God saved me. I believe in God. No, it doesn't work that way. You know, God found you in your ungodly state. Now, you may not know that you were in an ungodly state, but read your Bible long enough and you know you will know you were in an ungodly state. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Right? Not blessed is the person who never sins. There is no such a thing. Except for Jesus, there is no such a thing. Blessed is the one who God forgives his sins. How does he forgive his sins? Sins through faith. We receive God's grace through faith. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only those who are of the law, but also those who are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls things which do not exist as though they did. Now, that's really an important scripture, and that's one that you should probably commit to your memory. God who gives life to the dead, God calls things which do not exist as though they did. So you can say, all my life I've had this anger problem. All this life I've had this malady in my life, this hardship in my life. But God calls things which do not exist as though they did. God says that you are loved. God says that you have received the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love and peace and goodness and kindness and self-control, perseverance, all of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. See, you don't have all those things, but God calls things that do not exist as though they did. Because God calls it. Remember when God created the heavens and the earth, God said, let there be light. God said, let the creatures crawl on the earth. God said, let the planets. See, it's God's word that creates the transition that you're looking to accomplish, that you're wanting to accomplish. So you're not shooting yourself in the foot consistently, anyway, not shooting yourself in the foot in life often, because God has created something that isn't as though, and he says it is. God says it is. God says you're righteous, you're righteous. All of a sudden you start kind of feeling righteous. You know, all of a sudden you start feeling the grace of God, the mercy of God on you. You start feeling the feelings of generosity and the feelings of wanting to give and wanting to be kind to people. And that old, nasty, horrible you fades away. You know, the Bible says, I must decrease, said he might increase. God increases in you, and then you literally become born again. I mean, you become a new person. You do become a new person. You're not a fake new person when you're around church people. You're a new person 24/7. You're a new person when you don't even know you're being a new person. You're a new person. So God gives life to the dead and calls things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. That's Abraham, right? According to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, she was like 90, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Even though it seemed like it was impossible, he didn't waver. Did not waver. But was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him as righteousness. Believe that God is able to perform what he said he was going to perform. So that means that I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to cut bait and run. I'm going to stand and I'm going to believe that God's promises are yes, yes and amen.
Hey there, this is Jake Johnson. I want to thank you for listening to our podcast today. We pray that this word has ministered to you, and today that God has shown your need for him in your life. Pastor shared from Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 reads, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward.'" Pastor Bob showed us how when we place our faith in Jesus, he is our reward. If you need to make Jesus first in your life today and be set free from your past and be made a new creation in Christ, would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I repent from my sins and I ask that you would cleanse me with your blood. I place you first in my life and ask that you give me the power of the Holy Spirit. I walk forward this day in a new relationship with you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I now want to encourage you to start reading your Bible. You can even download the YouVersion Bible app on your mobile device and start a plan for new believers today. Start a prayer life and carve out time in your day to spend with God. And I want to personally invite you to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We have service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. Come on over for powerful worship, dynamic teaching, and an encouraging time of fellowship. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center and is brought to you free, online, and on the radio each week because of generous donations from listeners like you. You can partner with us in serving God's vision for this area by donating online at our website, www.cmcconline.org. From there, you can also connect with us on our social media platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Send us a message and let us know how this ministry is impacting your life. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.